baseball stuff, okay?
All
So just tell me about, your family, where they came from, et cetera, whatever you know.
right. Yeah. Well, I know that my Henry is on 75% Italian, 100% quarter Irish. On my mom's side, my mom's mother was Irish. But she always claimed that that was the best part of me. So I always got that going on. But
So, but your mother is Italian on her dad's side then?
yeah, yep.
Okay.
My three of my grandparents were 100% full Italian.
Got it.
And, my great grandparents came over. They were the ones that were the ones who came over to Ellis Island and
Okay. You know where they came from in Italy?
the grandmother's side was in Naples. I know there were some Grillies in a town a little bit outside of Rome called Fiorentino.
Fiorentino?
I believe I'm pronouncing it right, Fiorentino.
Near Rome. Okay.
And really, really last name comes from the word crickets. And
That's right.
when I learned of what my name meant, and it was about farmers, they were farmers, like Grillies were farmers, raised horses and what have you, but I guess they warded off some of their crop from some locusts and crickets. And that's where I think the name came from, or so I hear. That's the lore, right?
Interesting.
Your family name.
Yeah.
But just I've always thought of, and I guess when you learn about your background, I didn't put it together. I had the fortunate opportunity to go over to Italy back in '96. I was supposed to be on that 1996 games in Atlanta, and
Yes.
it was weird how it came to be because in college, I'm kind of sidebarring the story here.
That's fine.
It's a story about my background, but when I found out about, I had a chance to play and try out for Team USA my sophomore year at Seton Hall, I got a strange phone call from the coach, Mike Shepard, that Keith Italy wanted me to play in the Olympics. I said, well, how can that be? He goes, I don't know, I'm not really sure. I got this crazy phone call, and it'll prove your Italian heritage, and become an Italian citizen. You can play for Team Italy. I'm like, well, I'll ask to try out or guarantee to play in the Olympics. I'll take the guarantee. You might get Team Italy, you might go for it, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I really started getting back then. I think, as a kid, you got a lot of stuff going on. But back then, I started really understanding that, what it meant, and getting into my heritage and proving that, going to New York City with my parents to go get all these documents and stamped documents for identity purposes and proving my Italian heritage. So I
Right.
did that. I got my citizenship. I had to go over to Italy. I got to go over to Italy. I was supposed to play for Team Florence and play in the Italian league. But that all kind of fell through because the Italian players were pissed that they brought over Italian Americans. So I said, it's kind of funny that everybody's making this big uproar about, what's going on in our own country about who's what and what's what. I go, and I was an American who was proud of being Italian. And here I'm getting boycotted, and you guys want to strike me that I'm not, I have no Italian blood in my bones. So I'm like, well, how the heck does that make any sense? So a discriminatory experience in that, but it was weird because and they wound up sending us home because they were threatened that that was going to actually happen. So benefited me in the long run because I got to go to the Cape League, and I'd share that story because I can give you another little tidbit that comes back to it. But so I benefited from getting kicked off, I guess you could say, the Italian team. Olympic team, and I got to go back to the Cape Cod League, which is where I kind of put myself on a map because they poured some gasoline on the fire that was already burning after that Italian experience. If I'm getting cut from an Italian team, I go, now you pissed me off. So I could have gone and played for Team USA if I had a tryout, you know, so it was one of those things. So I was out to prove, obviously, you know, the Cape Cod League is a pretty good summer league team.
Oh, yeah.
You're a summer league team, and you're playing against all these, you know, big-timers at all these big Division I schools. So I got to play there. I had a great summer. You know, did very well, and I think that's what really put me on the map to be a top prospect come my junior year. So after I get drafted, I'll come full circle where I meet up with one of these Italian players who threatened me. He got drafted, I got drafted, and I had to go to the Italian, the Arizona Fall League.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't even the Fall League. It was the Instructional League that I got to.
Okay.
I was with the Giants, San Francisco Giants.
Right.
I was with the Seattle Mariners. This guy, Claudio Laverziani, got drafted by Seattle. So, you know, come to find out after that experience where they sent me home being just crushed of having, you know, dreams literally ripped away from me.
Right.
I flew home with just so much angst and just, you know, I didn't know where to direct it, but like I said, it benefited me. So I faced him in an instructional league game, and he comes up to the plate, and I drill him. As he's coming up the line, I said, "Welcome to my turf now, pal."
Wow. Now so this was 96 that this all happened?
That was the Italian Olympic experience was 96 games.
Yeah. Wow. And was that same year that you went to the Cape Cod League or the following summer?
Yeah, I went to the Western Whitecaps. Like I said, it was half the summer was gone, but I was able to go. I don't remember, somebody got injured. I can't remember.
Right.
I was just space open, but I went to the Western Whitecaps that summer.
So had you actually been selected for the Olympic team, and that's why you went over, and then they said, we don't want
you? It was a guarantee. That's why I went, you know, the USA experience.
Yeah.
And like I said, Italian pride. I mean, you know, here's a small town kid in Goldensville, New York, get sent off pretty well by, you know, Central New York.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Italian pride, and like I said, it is. It's a big deal.
Sure is.
And like I said, tying into, you know, talking to my parents and finding out more about my history, and I'm still doing it, you know, because I do have that Italian pride with, you know, the ancestry stuff.
Yeah.
The trees, you just start digging. We just found cool information on my great-grandfather.
Huh.
On my, you know, on my mom's side. So, you know, it's been fun putting pieces of some of the mysteries together and how it all came to be. But, you know, I can't say all negative experience about that because I got to see the motherland and touch my feet on the soil where all my ancestors came from. And, you know, the opportunity, I'm grateful. I thought about it recently. Maybe it's I guess that's how it happens. People say, my buddy just tell me when you hit 40, you start thinking this and thing.
Yeah.
And reminiscing on times, but I think I really come to appreciate, you know, the opportunity that somebody had, that desire of my ancestors to come over here and what everybody wants to do. American dream, and
right,
just by chance, I mean, you know, I am living it. You know, I've been able to experience great things here because, you know, my great grandparents came over on a tough ship in hopes of better things. So,
yeah, and
it's pretty kind of crazy when I reflect on that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good, and you got to be a citizen and to boot.
Yeah, I got, you know, and I can pass it down now to my kids.
And your kids automatically then, yeah.
They're automatically in, so, you know, forevermore, it's funny how you can, whatever loophole or laws, legalities, that can't be, and it was from the naturalization process, you know, where they were applying for immigration, you know, they're immigrating over here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at the time, even my grandfather was born on American soil. You know, my great-grandparents were not yet legal citizens, so it's...
Right.
I guess, technically, he was still an Italian citizen.
Yes.
You know, so there was where the loophole kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing it's frustrating is I'm trying to learn some Italian over the course of the past 2 years, but, you know, my grandmother was the only one who was really kind of said some Italian phrases, language that I do fluent, you know.
So,
it gets lost sometimes.
So you didn't hear it growing up very much?
No, a little bit from my grandmother, my dad's mom. She would say, you know, a lot of phrases, but, you know, she do. I think when, even then, you know, people started not stop really speaking a lot of the native tongue and
yes.
speaking more English. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, that kind of leads into something else I wanted to ask you about, your experience with the Team Italy in the World Baseball Classic.
Well, like I said, again, bridges can be built, and that experience came up, and of course it was like, once again, I got to be a part of something, you know, tied in with baseball, affiliated with the game I love.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome, and you know, the first go-around was great. Even had Tommy Lasorda to give us an unbelievable speech. I wish somebody had recorded it.
You know what? I did. You won't remember this, but I was there. I was there as the interpreter for the Italian natives that didn't speak.
Can I get a copy of that? Can I get a copy?
I can try to make it for you. Yeah.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I tell people, I go, this was one of the best speeches. How about that?
Wasn't it something? Yeah, Tommy. There's no more Italian than Tommy.
No. And, you know, that experience, like I said, I got to tie in the, you know, the name on the back of your jersey.
Yep.
It's more important than the one on the front, but, you know, I said the name on the back of the jersey allows you to play for the one on the front. So it was equally important in that experience, you know.
Yep.
And after, to mend the ties of just, you know, being able to represent my country is like some of the same guy, even quality will work out.
That's right. I remember that. I remember that name.
Hey, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I said, that's in the past, you know. I said, had you taken me, maybe you would have realized, you know. It was funny because they were like kissing my toes, trying to apologize for 1996. They were better than me, and I wasn't Italian. Okay, am I no more Italian now than I was then? I don't know. I got the jersey on just like you. My name ends in a vowel, A-E-I-O-U.
Right.
Why? In Sweden's case, you know. Well.
So how did you come to be involved in the first? But you know that you're the only active player who's played in all three of the World Baseball Classics.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, I had to pass on this one just because, you know, coming off the late playoff push and
yep.
time away from my family again.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I have various reasons to go ahead. I just don't see it in my best interest to try to push forward that right now at this stage of my career. It's
right.
Risk over reward wasn't measuring up. But of course, I would have loved to. I mean, I've had a greater experience each time playing in it, and I sure as heck will be rooting for them. Yeah.
What, were you approached initially, or did you approach them the first time?
No, I'm trying to remember the call, how it happened, but probably a letter from Major League Baseball.
Okay.
I think that's really how it came down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I'm recording through my agent.
Right.
One of the two would have very to get that kind of request.
And you didn't hesitate then once they asked you?
No, I thought it was great, actually. That was the year, 2006, that was when I was trying to make a team with the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
We just happened to be in Lakeland training there, so it wasn't like I was going across campus. I was still in camp.
Oh, yeah.
On the same campground with the Tigers.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a perfect match because I was also trying to fight for making a team.
Yeah.
Which I did that year. Not, you know, battling for a starter spot, but they wound up putting me as a long reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I get to go to the World Series, so.
Yep.
It's one of those things where I go, I got ready, I was in, you know, competitive mode right out of the gate, not only making a team, but, you know, on a little bit of a stage, you know,
mm-hmm.
spring training. So it kind of heightened things and got me locked in quick. So I've benefited from each one exactly that same way.
Hmm.
So whether it be trying to make a team, you know, playing playoff caliber baseball, I'm an adrenaline guy, so I love getting out there and when the nerves really get you, and, you know, you try to assimilate that through spring training, get in shape, but then you get baseball shape.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always what has to happen.
Are there any particular Are there any particular memories that stand out in your mind from the three WBCs?
I think the one in 2009 was the most fun for me. Just from the standpoint of like some guys coming back that did it the last time.
Yeah.
Almost like a reunion of sorts. Being in Toronto, the city that I love.
Oh yeah.
Which has a, you know, Canada has a, I guess I've heard the second largest per capita of Italians than other than Italy. So
that's right.
There was a good Italian populace following up in Toronto, and like I said, just the guys coming back, we had even more of a good time because we knew how good the first one was, you know.
Yeah.
And then again, how could you forget, you know, coming so close in Miami, you know, having guys like Rizzo and the whole. It really just kind of exploded because everybody doesn't suspect us. Even Team Canada's been a thing now. When it's funny playing up in Canada, you know, they say, we don't want to be in the Canada doesn't want to be in the tie. It is bracket.
No, that was pretty exciting when you got out of the first round. Yeah. Wow. Well, let's go back to other baseball then. When you were a kid, how much of a role did your dad play in your baseball development?
I have to say,
professionally. Was this near where you lived?
Yeah, Triple A ballpark is in Syracuse.
Syracuse.
And now the
oh.
Nationals, Triple A.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the Blue Jays at the time. My dad's career ended in Syracuse. That's how we ended up there.
Right.
Opened up a sports bar. And like I said, some of the players would come down to eat and have some drinks.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. I used to work there, so I'd see them at the ballpark. My dad's seen them in Toronto if they got called up, you know, so it was always kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was always around them, you know, it was just kind of, even though my dad wasn't in the clubhouse, in the playing, I mean, we were still in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Seeing the guys and stuff, so it was awesome. You know, the game has always been surrounded in my family. We've always, you know, found a way to make an excuse to be around baseball, you know.
Sure. So you were number 4 overall first round pick by the Giants. What do you recall about your first appearance in the major leagues? What did that feel like? Do you recall?
Well, I was with the Marlins. They traded me for Ron Hernandez.
Yeah.
So, I was with the Marlins. I was in AAA Calgary at the time. It made no sense for a AAA team to be that far away from Miami. So I had to fly 8 hours. I couldn't sleep at all. Didn't know who it was against. People were like, oh, I think they're playing the Pirates. I think they're playing the Pirates. I looked at the schedule and it was the Braves. You know, I was like, holy crap. My big league debut against the Braves. All right. Here we go, you know? And then, so, and I wasn't pitching well at the time. I think in 5 years, I had like almost a 7.5 ERA. You know, I was getting tanked up there with the PCL. And so, it was weird to get a call, but I guess a couple guys had got injured. Get their turn, and I was like, just happened to be available. It was going to be my start in AAA. But they called me up, and there was a bunch of people there, and put my phone on. They just came in with the Braves and got the win that day. So it was just a magical experience that I so longed for that. Everybody remembers and the journey of what it took to get there. So, it was a proud moment for me to share with my family. And to get it against Kevin Nolan and the Braves, it was a big victory, you know.
Yeah.
It made it so well. It dropped it. I don't know if I could beat these guys. And then to boot, I had a wrist fracture in my arm. And I didn't know it at the time that I was pitching with, but I think somebody was not feeling quite right. You know, several surgeries after my big league debut. So there was a lot of time lapse between my big league debut and being a mainstay in the big leagues.
Yeah. Well, you were a starter with Florida and then with the White Sox, and then when you went to the Tigers in 2006, you became a reliever. How did that change come about?
I think, you know, just, again, well, things were, there was no longer a working on the fifth overall. My status had been, you know, until I took it away, I got this prospect. People with contracts and bonuses, and holding that roster spot, and all the baseball thing. I had to grind my way to prove that if the right door had to swing open, and when one closed, I just kept pushing. And they just told me that there wasn't any more starter spots that year, and you know, that they were going to go. And I didn't want to go down to AAA and be an insurance policy. You know,
yeah.
I know I'm a big league pitcher, Jimmy Lehman. I thought that might have to break in the eyes when he told me. And I said, well, I'm a big league pitcher. I think you know that. So I'd like to think that I could help you in the bullpen somewhere. You know, so just give me the opportunity. I'm a big league pitcher.
Mm.
I told them. So they picked me, and I was on the team that year. But just was a long, bumpy road to where I am now. But I relish, I guess, looking back at the ride, because it makes you appreciate a lot of things, you know?
Yes.
It's quite a long shot as well.
Well, that's something I wanted to ask you about. I mean, you're entering your 15th year now as a big league pitcher. You faced a number of obstacles along the way, some serious injuries, Tommy John, et cetera, et cetera. What's kept you going all this time?
You know, I guess I love it. You gotta love what you do, right? I just always felt there's no better feeling than the rush you get when you get to experience that competitive edge that I can't be fulfilled for me by much else, you know?
Right.
It's run on rust. And it's good. And
Yes.
You know, just people signed me off, written me off probably a few times with this or that, especially my Achilles and this stuff. That for sure was going to pick me up, but my knee was the worst injury that I've had. It's sustained, and nobody saw the block. He said I wasn't even supposed to walk back. I said, walk right, you're not supposed to pitch. I got to get out there. So that to me, you know, I'm not over embellishing nothing, and nor do I want to. This is just my journey. Some of the things I think I'm most proud of is just that I can tell my kids that, you know, I've never given up. You know, don't give up until you've had enough. That's really it. There's a difference.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I love that movie Rockstar. I don't know if you've seen that with Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of one of my, you know, same thing. You know, when you get to experience something that you love and you dream about doing, it's not, there is a time when I've had enough as opposed to quitting, you know, and I could have given up a long time ago. It's hard. It's hard. Everybody will tell you it's hard to get there.
Yep.
Harder to stay.
Yep.
You know, so I've been really fortunate, like I said, to play with many organizations, play with so many good guys. I mean, this game's brought me halfway around the world from Hawaii to Italy so far. So, you know, there's no telling what life after baseball and what connections and more time, what you can do to experience it. I've always wanted to go watch games in Dominican and see baseball played out for Japan. I'd love to go over there just to get the feel, just to see a different lens, from a different lens.
Right, right.
The love and appreciation for it. But, you know, just, I guess, tied in, like, with family. It's the same good-natured thing, you know, when you really take pride in what you have and who you are, why you are the way you are, you know, things kind of come a little bit clearer, and you can love and appreciate it, or, you know, despise and detest it, baseball is kind of that way, too. It's a love and hate thing. You know? It's so long, it's very hard, it's very frustrating. Be humbling, it could be so exhilarating. The things that I think would encompass, you know, everything of what we all want to be and all that we want to aspire to be. So I've been fortunate, like I said, to experience so much in baseball.
Yeah.
Even despite all the injuries, I think he's under junior contract. That spelled out what my future held, and these four surgeries and this, that, pulling, ripping you away from family and trading gear, you know, all these crazy experiences. I think you just try to really put it together and appreciate what it all is in the end, because you know, a lot of people would give you know, anything to be an opportunity.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
you know.
I feel that way. I got this far as
like a superhero, and it's like all I'm doing is throwing a baseball, but it's
sure but I played enough to know how hard it is.
Well,
you know, and if you're in baseball long enough, you're going to get your heart broken inevitably, right? So, what would you say have been your toughest moments in that regard?
Say it again.
What were your toughest moments in your career when you thought, you know, this is too much or whatever, when your heart was broken?
I'm sorry. My dog just had an accident.
Oh, shit.
One second.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, everything's all right?
Everything's fine.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on there.
So I was asking you, what do you think maybe have been were your toughest moments in your career?
It's a long complaint, right, I guess. I think the toughest moments, honestly, at this point, I think the strain on the family, I mean, it's just a big sacrifice. And you know, the more you do it, it's that's what I find has been the biggest strain, you know?
Yeah.
If you go back to the roots of, like I said, what family means, being Italian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, in the end, if you've done this alone, you know, I'm sure you've had some good experiences, but you're going to feel alone.
Yeah.
You have family to celebrate and share in these moments, you know. It's you know, baseball has brought my family together. I see it brings a lot of families together, and the experience and the sacrifice of, like I said, to be from weeks at a time away from your family, your kids, you know, your wife holding down everything.
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest hardship I would go through, you know, any of my injuries, to see, you know, what baseball has afforded me to, you know, provide for my family and my children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, like I said, I go and see outside the lines what teachers do and all those, appreciate. You know, I know the value of the hard work, because my parents instilled that in me.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, working several jobs and putting me to work down at his restaurant every now and again, so I can see the value of a dollar. You know, he made me, like I said, love and appreciate the game and knowing how hard it was. But I think the hard is what makes it addicting, you know.
Yeah.
As you know, it's like, you know, if it was easy, then, you know, I had only people be doing it.
Everybody would do it, right?
But
well, it's. I was going to say, let's turn it around, and what are some of your best memories? Well, let's turn it around, and what are some of your best memories in the game?
Oh, there's so many, man. You know, the playoffs, of course, and World Series, albeit that a loss, that's the highest of the highs, you know. I mean, it's what you play for. You know, just to know how sore you are, you go out there and you're just like emptying the tank. There's so much intense. Like, it's such an intense world that's a hard differentiator. But I mean, just from some of the laughs, man, the laughs and the camaraderie, that's what everybody says we'll miss the most. Yes, it's going to be like you watch a game on TV, or better yet, live, and you go, God, I did that once. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But some of my buddies are like, you're still doing it. You're doing this.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Until it tells me, it hasn't told me so. I keep going, man. But no, I you know, just some of the friendships that I've made, the acquaintances of, you know, the good guys you get to meet, different backgrounds. It's you know, when you try to sit there in the flash, it's like, I don't think you can appreciate it until you stop, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when you look up,
yeah.
I haven't looked up in a long time. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
Like, I just had my head down because I've been focused on, like I said, the carrot that I'm chasing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where's carrots out there that you go, well, I did that. Okay, that seems normal now. What else can I throw a little bit further to see if I can reach for that one?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you keep testing yourself, so it's always there's more to it than just the game. There's more to it than just one memory. I would just shoot this BP, laughing with your buddies every day.
Mm-hmm.
To run through their mind, it's just, you know.
Well,
there's a lot of cool stuff. I don't know. It's hard to put it all on just one. Real conversation.
Of course, of course. As you look back, other than your dad, have there been other mentors along the way, coaches, managers, other players that have helped you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I got, I don't know how much time you have, because I played on 12 different teams all this time, right?
Yeah.
I've met so many. Todd Oaks, coming in, I went to AA. He's one guy I really value. When somebody passes, he had leukemia and he passed, but he was a great mentor. I mean, even when you're young in the game, 20 years old, you're sent out to Shreveport, Louisiana, you know, know nobody, it's your first big league, or first, I said, pro ball experience.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people that you know just care more than beyond, you know, making sure that you're throwing all, executing all your pitches and good mechanics and all that. You know, there's certain people that you can tell are in it because they care. They're just people that care, you know, about other people. He certainly was one.
I just want to be sure I got the name. Todd Oakes, O-A-K-E-S.
Todd Oakes. He was a pitching coach at the University of Minnesota, too. You can probably find him online somewhere.
So he was your pitching coach at Shreveport?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Thank you.
Shreveport AA.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to the Giants organization, you know, Rob Penn and Mark Gardner took me under the wing when they could, showed me and Joe Nathan the ropes a little bit. So it was, you know, Todd Jones with the Tigers took good care of me and made sure I was staying in line.
Over the course of your long career, you must have changed somewhat as a pitcher. Have you had to adapt, and how have you changed as a pitcher?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still evolving. I've always tried to find another little edge or what kind of just change. I certainly have done that. You know, whether it's been an injury or something wasn't working, I went from curveball pitching to this, you know, slider. On the bullpen, slide steps, incorporating old times. I mean, I just certain arm, you know, arm positions. I figured out, you know, arm better that I could be deceptive when I'm not throwing hard that day. So, I felt good because I think that's what kept me in the game. I would like to say I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, I'm not saying I figured the game out, but I figured it. What I need to do constantly and obviously tweak those little minor adjustments, but you know, I think that it has come from, you know, things that you know, whether you fight or starve, you know.
Yeah.
You figure it out or you starve. So I think the, for me, the lowest rung was having the game taken away from me, that biggest fear.
Strikeout ratio. Did you start out more as a power pitcher? Were you more of a power pitcher, and then as you got older with injuries, you had to?
Well, I think as a little reliever, too, I didn't really get to really try. I pride myself on inherited runners, you know, my evolution of being a starter, trying to go deep into games. There too, when I was a middle reliever, I knew that inherited runners, you know, tell them the job you want of them, and it's easier to do the job, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so I'm a middle reliever, you're bringing me in the first and third, no outs, so one out, I need a double play. Well, if I can get a pitch on the sinker, you know, the shortstop, and turn two, I've done my job.
Yeah.
So that's what I prided myself in. Then when I was able to do that, you know, like my meeting with Clint Hurdle when I went to the Rockies, he asked what I wanted out of my career. And I told him, I said, I think I could pitch in the back end of a bullpen. I want to do something more significant if I'm in the bullpen. Because I'd like to do the job. He said, well, why is that? I said, because I've never had a clean inning. You know, my inherited runners the last several years have been tossed in the big leagues. I said, so if I'm doing that, you think it's going to be, you know, a challenge for me to go deeper in the game? I'm doing it anyways, but I'm doing it with runners on base and two to the slides with runners on base and getting out of it. Now, what can I do with a clean inning? I'm facing the same guys. I said, so that's what I want. I told him, I know I can do the job. So just history repeated itself. So I had a chance to circle back around with us meeting in Pittsburgh.
That's a good argument you made. It really is.
Yeah. Like, well, if you guys are getting paid, they're getting all your big deals, I'm not going to get paid as a middle reliever, nor do I want to do that. That wasn't what I dreamed about being.
Right.
That wasn't my dream. No, everybody will tell you, no one wants to be a middle reliever. You're set up for failure. You know, you do the job, you're expected to do it. If you fail, they're going to find somebody else. Middle relievers do not get enough credit. And I argue that whether I was closing, I play with those guys when they're out there.
Yep.
So yeah, I evolved as a pitcher, and like when I finally got to be a 6th, 7th inning guy, and I got to set up for Hanrahan in Pittsburgh, I was like, damn, man, I said, this is what I've been waiting to do. This is like, I'm so excited I'm puking before, you know? And I literally do. I get so excited. Three-piece, you know, get taken care of, and then I go in and I pitch, and I relish the adrenaline. Like, more so than even starting. As a starter, my first inning was usually the worst at times because I said I had so much adrenaline.
Right.
I needed to get tied to their effective starter.
Right.
You know, it became a problem. So it was perfect. It was almost like, I think I'm more built to be a reliever because, you know,
to me, here's one of the amazing things about your career. I mean, you've been durable, obviously. You've had all these years, but some of your best seasons have come very lately. As a veteran, you had 33 saves when you were 36 years old. You had 24 when you were 38, and then you got injured. But so what, are you like fine wine that you've gotten better as you age?
No, it's like I said, you know, over the course of time, I've been asked to do different things. One time they wanted me to sweep the floor, so I swept the floor. The other time it's washing the window, so I was washing the window. So it's like, I can only do what you're asking me to do. If I'm going to be given a job given what I like to do, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of guys going, I get up to that third in the lineup. You really got to sign up, like, raise their hand. Who wants that third this year?
Right.
You know, you don't always get, we can't always get what you want, right? You gotta fight for it, especially in fan sports. And, but, you know, I've got the kick in the clock. I was like, well, okay, I'm gonna figure out what the hell I gotta do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell him to get there because, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, it's hard to put in the words sometimes just what you think is gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or know that's how strong the belief is that I guess I've maintained. Call it narcissistic, call it confidence. You know, I think a lot of people, and again, I've been using the president as a big example because why not? I mean, I think it's the greatest one that I've seen in the whole time. This guy dominated the American dream and became president. And a lot of people are mistaking his confidence, you know, or arrogance, I should say, his confidence in this man. Is a large amount of success. really get happy to talk. And I'm very humbled, like I said, that I get to do what I do. I know why I get to do it. I'd like to think that I work as hard, if not harder, than a lot of people that do the same thing I do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sometimes where you find the edge of, why did you have a good season? Why did you have a good game? You know, who's put in the work? Everybody is at that level. When you get to the top, is very, very, very good.
That's right. So, yeah. And don't you think, I mean, the physical differences are not that great when you get that high, isn't it? More mental than physical at a certain point?
Yeah, I mean, there's still ways you learn to experience. There's all these cybermetrics things. It's like, you know, there's not a formula for, you know, being a person. You know, it's not a, we're not robots out there. There's obviously statistical evidence, but there's chances, you know. Every sport is really based on strengths and, you know, chances and opportunities. I think that, well, that's true, but then your comment lends to the whole thing with steroids, the competitive advantage. There's a reason why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And why it starts turning to happen. Because guys are that good. And, you know, those who were, they were not having the ease that they were having when everybody wasn't taking it. So, you know, everybody's always looking for that edge.
Yeah.
And now everybody's on their Instagrams and stuff, everybody's trying to show who can listen. Wanna put in the work, and some don't. Some say they do, and you find out, you know, and they get brush their teeth at the end of the day and say, well, did I or didn't I?
Yeah.
They can answer that question.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you raised that issue. I don't know if you want to answer this question, but how do you feel about, you know, the Hall of Fame issue about certain guys who may have, we know have, others we're not sure. Do you have a position on that question?
I think when you open up the door for one, then it's going to just, the rest will follow.
Yeah.
You know, when they read us a rule, this is my answer to all of that. I guess my proudest moment is playing in and through all of it. That's another adversity that many of us face. Sure. I didn't have a big physique, you know? So. mean, that's all been stated before.
Sure.
You don't have to be a weight room rat to take it either and have benefits from it. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that were doing that, if they were or weren't. I don't know. I don't know that world. And you know, like I said, maybe that's why I'm in the game too. You know, I didn't take it. It makes you break down. I'm in it because it's on my own merit. I never had to take it.
Yeah.
I never felt I had to take it.
So, sort of summing up your experience, what has baseball meant to you in your life, if you can answer that?
What has it meant? You know, it's crazy because, again, I've had to realize that this is my last guaranteed year. I'm hoping now to get something out of this, too. That's my hope. Now, Bartolo and Ari Dickey are
last year to making it back to the World Series. That was tough. Huh?
That's the biggest drive, man. That's the biggest drive. You know, and walk past a couple of trophies, and like I said, having my childhood meet up with my adult days, it's like surreal. And I was sitting there going like, holy cow, I lost this game 92 and won 1993. You know, getting good to the World Series, it's like now I'm here. It's kind of surreal. It sounds corny, but it's like, it's weird, man.
Yeah.
It is even weirder for me because, like I said, I played for all this time, and to have, like I said, one of the last teams I played for, the one I was growing up with, like I said, icing on the cake now. The World Series of the team I grew up idolizing, you know, winning one, so that would have been crazy. And there's still a chance.
Yeah, you got another year here, so.
Yeah.
Wow. So, you grew up a Blue Jays fan because your dad finished his career there, basically, and then you had the AAA close by, huh?
AAA's there, and we came trips up to Toronto to watch him at the, when it was called the Stridon.
Yes, yeah, I was there, yeah.
Always as fun as, like, a big deal. Up there, you know?
Yeah.
I got a good report coming or whatever, I'm like, yeah, come go. So, you know, I can take it, it was great.
So are you still living in the Baldwinsville area or right in the town or?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, you are?
We moved to Pittsburgh. We bought a house in Pittsburgh. I think that's where we're going to wind up residing when this is all done and we'll downsize or figure out what to do with the Florida house. But yeah, that's the plan.
Because I remember reading something about the plan to live in Pittsburgh, so you're not there yet, but you plan to.
Not there yet.
Okay.
Yes, we found a dream house up there, scooped it up, and my wife and family stay there, you know, because it's closer to Toronto. They can make it a really quick area to go back and forth for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier than trying to go all the way to Florida, you know?
So they live in Pittsburgh during the season? And the off season, in the summer?
Yeah, during the summer, yep.
Yeah.
During the summer.
Well, how did you settle on Pittsburgh?
I just was a good city, man. I just had a lot of places to play, and I just feel like that's home. You know, just my kind of people, enough to stimulate. My kids kind of live in the same kind of situation that I grew up in. You know,
uh-huh.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for them there and myself to stay busy and occupied, you know.
Yeah.
Cheer for some good sports teams.
Yeah. It's a nice city. I've been there only once, but it's a very nice city. That's cool.
Very happy up there.
One more thing, if you got just another second. This is sort of going back a little bit, but was it in 2015, weren't you a victim of the famous Sports Illustrated cover jinx? Didn't you get hurt the same thing? What was that?
Yeah, I guess, if you believe in philosophers, you know, whatever that is. But they don't realize that I also was in 50% of the games up to the first half, you know? We're 1-9 team, and me and Mark Melanson were in quite a few games the first half of that season. I think I did 29 saves before the break. Just to show you the strength of how much we were used. And the bullpen was good back then. So, we were winning in every game meant a lot. And, you know, we took the ball when it was given to you. So, that's more of it than, I think, it's a Sports Illustrated cover gun.
Yeah. But
still call it accomplishment to have on the wall somewhere, you know?
Are you kidding? Yeah. But didn't the injury actually happen the same day that the cover came out?
No, the cover came out of the All-Star game. It was the game after we were in Washington.